Now,
ladies and gentlemen,
let's get started.
Broadcasting from the shores of the world's most beautiful beaches, this is the most talked about radio show in Bay County, the Brian Rust Morning Show, melting down snowflakes faster than a blowtorch and doing it with a smile. Now, here's Brian Rust on News Talk at 101.
All right, welcome back to hour number three of the show. Good morning, and thanks so much for listening with us. The municipal elections coming up April 18th. Early voting is starting on April 10th, and Parker is another place where they are doing some elections, including the mayor's seat is up for grab. And Pat, let me see if I can get this name right, because you even gave me the pronunciation, but I'm still pretty good at screwing it up. Fosick?
Fosick.
Fosick. Dang it. See, I knew I'd screw it up.
Close enough.
I'm good at doing that. But Pat, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming in. You're running for the mayor's seat. Let me ask one question. Why? I always say that to all politicians because I ran for office too, but why?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me this morning, Brian. It's great to be here. Why? Because I grew up here, left, came back, and Parker really has not changed much from when I grew up here as a child. And I look around. Obviously, Michael devastated the entire community, but I look around at the other cities, Callaway, of course, Panama City and Panama City Beach. They stand very differently, and Panama City Beach didn't have that much different or that much damage. But I just see that Parker seems to be lagging behind. I know we're a small community, about 2.5 square miles. I know we're a small population, a little over 4,000 residents that live there, but we have a big heart. And we also have a great opportunity. We're the gateway to Tyndall Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. And now that the feds have come in, the Department of Defense is rebuilding Tyndall and making it the base of the future. Parker has an opportunity to support that. And it's a great opportunity that if we don't take action now, we're going to miss it. The people that are coming in, the service personnel that are coming into Tyndall are going to bypass us. They're going to keep heading straight down Highway 98 to some other municipality. We've mm-hmm. got to get businesses, restaurants, apartments, homes built in order to take advantage of the growth that's coming in for us.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of growth. And obviously right now everybody is kind of jumping on that, you know, possibility. I mean, there's so much regrowth and you know, with Tyndall and the future of it, a lot of the surrounding communities have really jumped on that. I mean, going all the way out to Mexico Beach and, you know, Callaway and, you know, Panama City, they're all jumping on that. So you're right. Definitely have to get on that. What do you think is the biggest priority for you if you're elected to the mayor seat?
Well, I think there's really two. The first is we've recently learned that our infrastructure is aged, of course. The city was founded in, I believe, 1967, and a lot of the infrastructure was put in place then, and it's starting to fail. We've also learned that there were no provisions put in place to set aside funding to repair and maintain that infrastructure. And now we're at a crisis point where the city council is actually looking at assessing an ad valorem tax on the residents. And with the price of things in the country today, food, housing, insurance, you were talking earlier on the mm-hmm. show about that, the last thing that we need is another tax. But if we do need it to maintain the infrastructure, then we need to look at it, but we need to make sure that we look at other funding sources first and that is our priority. Yeah. Any of the money that comes in from this ad valorem should go to infrastructure. The second, I think, is development. Reaching out to other municipalities to see what they have going on. As a citizen, I've started attending meetings for Panama City, Springfield, Callaway, scheduled to go up to Weewa to sit in on their meeting as well as Mexico Beach, just to see what they're doing because I'm seeing growth there. I'm seeing the community and the city council and the public works groups working together, but I don't see a lot of that in Parker, especially community involvement, and we really need that. But to go out and seek qualified developers to come in and build restaurants, we don't need any more gas stations. I heard somebody else mention that.
I don't think we need those, period, in Bay County. Yeah. We need to put a ban on those at this point.
You know, but we need some quality developers, a developer that's going to bring people into the city, not just a developer that's going to be a lay-down yard or a storage unit, but something that's going to bring people in to spend their money within Parker, to reside in Parker, to travel through Parker, but not just travel through from for example, Tyndall to 23rd Street or downtown or the beach, but to actually stop in Parker and spend their money here and see what we have to offer. We've got to get the developers in there, and that's going to involve networking, reaching out aggressively, seeking out quality developers to come in and build.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you about this, because that's obviously a big thing for that particular area, is rebuilding and building things and bringing new things in. And I've heard this from a few other candidates who talked about this in their communities, and that's the building codes, building regulations, and the difficulty it is for some people to actually get the building going. What are some of your thoughts on how Parker is run in that aspect? Is there problems there as well?
Well, you know, I heard about that recently. There was a comment made, and I believe it was a year or so ago, that it takes over a year to get a building permit from Parker. Whether that's a result of staffing, whether it's a result of the codes, sometimes I think it's a lack of diligence on the part of the property owner or the developer that wants to come in, but we've got to streamline that. The city recently revised the land development regulations. New ones were instituted in November of 2022. We've looked at our comprehensive plan. There was a lot of work that was done immediately after Hurricane Michael. When I say immediately, within the next year or two, to put together a plan to bring Parker into the 21st century. It's an old community. There's nothing wrong with that. There's charm there. Mm-hmm. But we do need to bring in new developments and come up with a master plan that beautifies that Highway 98, that corridor into Tyndall. It shouldn't be empty lots and, again, industrial businesses. We're seeing that somewhat along alternate 98 going down into what you would call the downtown area of Parker, which we need to build. But it's really still industrial, and that's where I think the quality developers have to come in. Mm-hmm. We've got the codes, we've got the LDRs, we need the permitting process to be smoother, and frankly, I think the city needs to reach a hand out and to help these people, not just say, here we are, come get us, but to say, what can we do to help you move forward? What can we do to convince you to build here? Can we, I don't want to say make exceptions to the LDR or to the comprehensive plan, because we've got a goal, we've got a structure there, but can we help in some form or fashion to get you here to please everybody and to benefit the residents?
That sounds like a heck of a plan.
It's a big plan.
It's a big plan.
And we need the community involvement to get there. We've got to get the residents more involved in the community.
That is a very big thing. And speaking of the residents, what are the type of things that you're hearing from them, you know, when it comes to what they want to see in Parker?
Well, I think they want to see improvement, but at the same time, they do want to keep that small community feel, which I know we can do. I've had an opportunity to travel, and I've seen other communities where you'll have like a downtown area where you have businesses on a lower level of a building, and you have residences up above. It's actually a beautiful environment. It's people-friendly. It's pet-friendly. It's child friendly, and it benefits both. You don't have to have residential areas off by themselves. You can have it above the businesses downstairs. And that's one of the things that the comprehensive plan had done previously after Michael, was draw up some plans through the R2P2 project, draw up some plans that had this design of community synergy, where the residents and the businesses were there and it became an inviting place. We've somehow moved away from that, and I don't know exactly how we did that. There was one particular parcel where the design had been laid out. Maybe we didn't get a developer. Did we actively go out and seek a developer to come in that would work with us within those confines? I don't know, but I know what's there now, and it's not at all what had been planned. So residents are saying, we saw this vision a few years ago, and we're so far away from it, we're actually taking a left turn instead of making forward progress. And that's what I hope to change.
Yeah, that sounds like they're a little frustrated. So
They are, and I can understand that, but I also reach out to the residents and say, get involved. Come to the city council meetings, live stream the meetings. Reach out to your council member and ask the questions. They work for us, and I think sometimes the council may forget that, and I think sometimes the residents forget that. We sometimes sit back and just wait for, like, the feds to just tell us what we're supposed to do. No, right. No, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
You were talking about it earlier this morning. We need to tell them what we want, and we need to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
And we do that through election. We do that through attending the meetings, and asking the tough questions and demanding answers. We're entitled to that as residents.
Yeah.
And if I'm elected mayor, I hope to give the residents those answers. I will be very transparent to anyone that has talked with me or seen me at the city council meetings. I think they know that I'll stand up and ask those tough questions and provide the answers when those questions are asked of me.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's definitely something that people really want. They want somebody that is going to ask those tough questions and is being open to being asked the questions. And, you know, this is what I harp on this all the time about people just got to be engaged. And I know that a lot of people say, oh, well, I can't get it to the meetings. You don't always have to get to the meetings. I mean, there's emails.
Exactly.
You know, emails, phone calls, get out there and just and really get out there and reach out. What about the utility services of the town? And by that, I mean like the public works, fire department, police department and all that. What is the status of that? And where would you like to see that going forward?
Well, we're fortunate in that we have our own police department and volunteer fire department, and the residents seem to be comfortable with that. They like the fact that some of the personnel that serve those departments live within the city confines. So they're our neighbors. We know them. And that builds a lot of trust. The utilities, again, sewer, water, and trash pickup, we have that available, but we've got that infrastructure that we need to work on. Mayor Kelly recently was able to secure two new police vehicles for the police department, which were sorely needed. I'm glad to see that. We're moving forward with trying to improve the service that we provide through the water by putting in new piping. A lot of that was secured through federal grants. That's moving forward, and we need that again in order to build the development. But I feel that the citizens are comfortable with what we have, but we can always improve it and support those guys and gals. Let them know that we're behind them. If they do need something, that we bring it to the city council, and somehow we try to find the money, but at the same time balancing that with the overall survivability of the city. It's not going to do us any good to have a great police force and fire department if we're ending up being annexed to Springfield or to Callaway.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Don't want to see that happening. So let me try and get this again because I'm so good at this. Pat Fusick?
Fusick.
Damn it.
That's okay.
One of these days I'm going to get names. I'm so bad at it. You give me a name like Smith and I can't do it. However, Telemendez.
Yeah.
I get that one perfectly. Yeah. I don't know how that works for me. Anyhow, Pat, how can people get in touch with you if they wanted to learn more about you?
They can reach me at my email address, patforparker@gmail.com. I also have a website, patforparker.com, and a Facebook page, also Pat for Parker. And you can text or call 254-733-4747. I'm pretty much available 24/7, and I look forward to hearing from you. We'll also be hosting some meet and greets here in the next few